Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to worship the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's all kinds of written lessons. We'd encourage you to go there and get started. Today we're going to do a harmony of the gospel. And what that means is that there are four accounts of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those four accounts do not in any way conflict. They all blend together. Years ago, a study of Q and looking for Q, which I now don't even believe existed, I wrote a book called Jesus Christ, the Son of God in 1980, in which I blended together Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into one chronological account of the life of Christ. We're going to experiment in the same thing today, in that we're going to take all four accounts of the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. So we're going to get right to it. It's a very long sermon, and y'all just fasten your safety belts. We'll go from here, and we're going to be jumping between these books, and I will just be announcing which book we're going to. If you want an absolute detailed description of this, then you go to our written lessons, and you will be able to get every verse and the sites on every one of these verses. Judas betrays Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was a punk. Judas could have got 100 pieces of silver. This is what he sold the Lord for. 30 measly pieces of silver. Chump change. Come on, guys. I mean, this guy could have got 50 talents of silver. That's nothing, absolutely nothing. And what became of it? The prophet tells us in 520 B.C. in Zechariah 11:12, "And I, God, said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price, 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And the Lord said unto me, Judas, cast it to the potter, a goodly price that I, God, was priced of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Jesus is betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and say, Master, Master, and he kissed him. Luke. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? This is a fulfillment of Psalms 41:9. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. The last thing that Judas did, Jesus took sop and dipped it in the bread and put it in his mouth. And that's when Judas went out to do his snitch job. John 18. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And when Jesus said unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup. Now, cup is often referred to as a cup of bitterness, or the cup of gall, or the cup of wickedness. And so Jesus drank that cup of bitterness, that cup of gall, that cup of wickedness for us, took upon himself the sins of the world. The cup which the Father has given me shall I not drink of it. And thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? A legion in the Roman army was 5,000 to 9,000 troops. So Jesus is saying that God would give him between 60,000 and 108,000 angels just at his whim. All he had to do was just ask, and God would have sent a huge, overwhelming company, army of angels, more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? And thus it must be. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and yea, you laid no hold upon me. Matthew. And all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. So the scripture foretelling that they would forsake him is from Zechariah 13 from about 520 BC. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little one. John 18, Jesus before an axe. And a band is about 500 men. Now, it's not all 500 of them, but it's those that was on duty, a company of a battalion, as an example. Then the band of the captain and the officers of the Jews. Now, notice these were Jewish temple guards. These were not Roman soldiers. Took Jesus and bound him. That was against the law to bind any prisoner before he's convicted. And led him away to Annas. Now Annas, Josephus tells us, he was installed by the Romans under Quirinius in 6 BC, and he reigned as high priest till 15 BC when he was done away with by Gratus. But he still remained the chief head guy. He remained the head guy among the Jews, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. See, his son-in-law was the high priest, for he was son-in-law to Caiaphas, which was high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did the other disciple. The disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now notice high priests live in palaces. They were part of the fat cats, John 18:19. Now, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples. Now, see, the reason Annas, even though he's not recognized by the Romans as high priest, in Numbers it says that once you're high priest forever, like a Supreme Court justice. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, of his teaching. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them that heard me what I have said to them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. That was illegal under Jewish law to beat a bound prisoner or any prisoner, whether he's bound or unbound. Struck him with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Ananias, when he had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Jesus before Caiaphas. They were digging a road in Israel, and they came across a bone box, which is called an ossuary. And this bone box is Caiaphas's ossuary. And it's a beautiful, decorated ossuary. Most Jews were just buried in a plain ossuary. And on the end of the bone box is his name, Joseph Bar Kufu, Joseph, son of Caiaphas, is how that translates from Hebrew. Guess what they found when they opened the bone box? They found an old man's skeleton that had been coined in the mouth. He really didn't believe in the God that you and I worship, the God of Israel. He believed that when he died, that he needed a coin to take his soul across the river Styx, like according to Greek mythology. Now, of course, the Bible teaches us that the Sadducees didn't believe in life after death anyway. Jesus before Caiaphas, Matthew 26:57. "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away unto Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled." Now, this is against the law. This is the second nighttime trial that Jesus is being condemned at. And it's against the law to have a nighttime trial. No kangaroo trials in Israel. 58. "But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Mark 14. "For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain that bear false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him saying, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witnesses agree together." See, witnesses had to agree. "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is this which these witness against thee?" The law of Moses teaches in Deuteronomy 19, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, and any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established." Matthew 26. "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Mark 14:62. "And Jesus said, I am." That's as plain as day, isn't it? "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we of further witnesses?" John will tell us later in Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," in fulfillment of what he told the high priest. "And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Matthew 26. "What think ye?" And they answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Did they spit in his face and buffet him and smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And to our North Texas audience, tuning us in on 1630 AM radio, Luke 22. "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and scribes came together and led him to their council." Now, this is when Jesus is formally condemned after daylight before the Sanhedrin court, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell ye, ye will not believe. And if also I ask you, ye will not answer, nor will ye let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am. Now, this is a play on words, both in Aramaic and in Greek. Here, Jesus is saying, you have already said it. Why do I need to say it? You have affirmed it your own self. You have said it your own self. So Jesus, from after plainly answering in Mark 14:62, he continues from then on to tell people, you said it, so it must be so. You say that I am. And they said, what need we of further witnesses? For we have heard his own mouth. Jesus before Pilate the first time, Matthew 27. And when morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. John 18. And they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. The Jews, the fat cat Jews, didn't go into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. They couldn't come in contact with a Gentile, or they couldn't eat the Passover. They'd be defiled and be unholy for 7 days, but that they might eat the Passover. So the whole purpose of not going in was that they might celebrate the Passover. 1,000 years before, the psalmist told us in Psalms 22:29, and all they that be fat upon the earth, and that word earth there is the land, the promised land, all they that fat cats in the promised land shall do what? Shall eat and worship. And what time was this? It was a time of Passover, a time of a feast. But look what they hadn't counted on. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, before Jesus. And none can keep alive his own soul. So to eat the Passover, they've given up their whole souls. John 18. Then Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Luke 23. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King. John 18, verse 31. Now here is an amazing thing. P52, which is the oldest copy of the book of John, is dated between 100 and 125 A.D. John wasn't written until about 90. It's the oldest copy that we have, the book of John, called P52, and that copy says this very thing that we're fixing to read. This is on the front side of it, on the recto, which means the front side. Then said Pilate to him, take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. See, remember last week I taught you in Genesis 49:10 that they would always have the ability to carry out capital punishment until the Messiah come, and then they'd lose that ability to carry out capital punishment. It's not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. They had to get the Romans to do it where he could be crucified. Otherwise, he would have been stoned to death had he been killed by the Jews. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Now this is where the front side of P52 stops. And now we'll continue reading, verse 34. And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this saying of thyself, or others telleth thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now on the backside of P52 begins in verse 37 and reads to the end of this group of scriptures. And so the backside of P52 says, and Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith to them, I find in him no fault at all. Mark 15:3. Then the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Isaiah 53:7. 750 years before Christ is born, and the Old Testament gives us a prophecy of what he'd do. Isaiah 53:7. He's oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Jesus didn't answer Pilate or any of these people. Open his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was the Lamb of God. And a lamb, you can walk up and just cut their throat, but a goat will scream and squeal and holler. They're altogether different in killing lambs and goats. Matthew 27:13. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how so many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Luke 23. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee unto this place. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And our North Texas radio audience, 1630, Jesus before Herod Antipas, Luke 23. Then Pilate had heard of Galilee, he asked her whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then when he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, a purple robe, and sent him again unto Pilate. And that same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Putting him in a purple robe and sending him back all beat up like he's already been beat up three times before Annas, before Caiaphas, and now before the Sanhedrin, and now before these guys. This is the fourth time he's all beat up. They sent him back. He's dressed like a clown in a robe, and so they're just making fun of him. Now Jesus before Pilate the second time. Matthew 27:15. Now the feast of the governor was wont, in other words, it was a tradition to release unto the people a prisoner whom there was. Just like the president pardons the Thanksgiving turkey, well, every year at Passover, they'd pardon some prisoner. The Romans would pardon some prisoner. Mark 15. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him. Now, these were probably zealots that were in rebellion against the Roman government, and so they were highway robbers. They robbed everybody that went between Jericho and Jerusalem, as an example. These people were called zealots, or the Sicarii. And they had made insurrection with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. So Barabbas had killed somebody in this insurrection against Rome. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done, to release a prisoner. In other words, Luke 23. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. In Isaiah 53:9, the prophet tells us they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Why? Pilate said he'd done nothing worthy of death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The prophet said that he would be innocent. Matthew 27:17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down in a judgment seat, notice that term, key word, judgment seat, his wife said to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So you remember Pilate sitting in judgment seat? Isaiah 53:9, 750 years before he was born, he's taken from prison and from judgment and from the judgment seat. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, killed. What for? For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Matthew 27:20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Don't you know that Barabbas' knees was knocking? He was in a holding cell not far off, and he hears all these people hollering, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Don't you know he's worried they're asking for his head? He thinks that they want to kill him. Luke 23:18, and they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Now on the Day of Atonement, they would take a lamb and a scapegoat. And let's read about the scapegoat. Leviticus 16, verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat unto the wilderness. So you take the lamb, kill the lamb, confess the sins of the people over the scapegoat, turn the scapegoat loose in the wilderness of sin, and so it is just a type and a shadow of the thing of the crucifixion of Christ, Christ the Lamb of God to be killed, Barabbas the scapegoat to be set free. John 19:1. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. 750 years before it happened, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Scourging was done by the Romans with a flagon. A flagon was a whip, had a wood handle, and then it had three tails on it. And they would take a piece of metal and attach it to the end of each one of those tails, and the piece of metal looked like a barbell. And that piece of leather would be tied around the center of it, and the guy would beat you. You'd be strapped between two pillars, and a guy would beat you with that flagon, and you could get 39 lashes with that flagon. And every place that piece of metal hit, it would bust you open there and leave a bruise on you the size of a lemon, great big bruise on you, and it'd bust you open. That means that Jesus had 117 cuts all the way to the bone on his back and his sides and his buttocks and the back of his legs. He took a beating that would kill you and me. Jesus wasn't some sort of little glorified sissy-looking punk. Jesus was all man and all God, and he took a beating that was absolutely out of this world. John 19, verse 27, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And they put on him a purple robe, a sign of royalty, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hand. And Pilate therefore went forth and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold a man. And when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Well, God had promised King David that in some miraculous way, the Son of God would be born through David's family line. In 2 Samuel 7:14, he says, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And if he commit iniquity, and that word commit's really a bad translation there, it means if sin is counted to him, If sin is counted to him, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. The Roman soldiers will beat him. John 19:8. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying that he was the Son of God. Pilate gets paranoid because in Greek mythology, in Roman mythology, God came down to earth. And so Pilate, he wants to find out more about this. What if this is the Son of God? I don't want trouble with the gods, man. There could be some trouble out of this. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power over me at all, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Now they've made it where he can't let him go. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Matthew 27. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And when he answered, all the people said, His blood be upon us and our children. And it was because 40 years later to the day, Jerusalem is destroyed. And 1 million Jews are killed and all the rest go into captivity. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and they released unto him, Barabbas, that who for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com or www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You can tune us in on 1630 AM radio here in North Texas. Jesus mocked by the Roman soldiers, Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers and governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band. Now, a band of soldiers was 500 men. And so this was all of those that weren't on duty, weren't standing guard at the gate or whatever. It was the barracks of the soldiers. So they took him into the barracks and just bullied him and pushed him around and beat him all up some more. The whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put upon him a scarlet robe. Bear in mind now, he's been beat up 4 times and now beat up again and scourged. Now this is another time he's beat up. Put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Isaiah told us that the Messiah, this suffering servant, when he comes, in Isaiah 52, for as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This Christ is going to be beat up worse than any man was ever beat up and lived. Amazing thing, written 750 years before it happened. Matthew 27:30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Notice that. They took the reed and smote him on the head. Now, in the 8th century B.C., about the same time as Isaiah is writing, 850 years before Christ is born, in the Old Testament, Micah tells us, Now gather thyself in troops, sounds like army people, doesn't it? O daughter of truth, he hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. They took that rod that they put in his hand to make fun of him, and they smote him on the cheek, and they hit him on that crown of thorns to drive those thorns down in his head even more. What person are they going to do that to? Well, it tells us in verse 2, But thou Bethlehem of Ephratah, who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus. But thou Bethlehem of Ephratah, though that be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who is to be ruler in Israel, who's going forth from old, from everlasting. God is saying, I've been promising this Messiah from old, from everlasting, and they're going to beat the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Jesus on the way to the cross. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Mark 15. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple robe from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrenian, who was passing by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now look what the text is telling us here. Mark got to know this Simon guy, the Cyrenian, because he knew his two sons. That means the crucifixion of Christ must have had some sort of impact on that whole family. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8 says, He's taken from prison and from judgment. He was taken from that common hall where they beat him, the Roman soldiers, from prison, and from the judgment seat of Pilate. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He's going to be killed for the transgression of my people, was he stricken. Matthew 27:33. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Now gall was half wine and half opium. Those people had dope back in them days too. And so they gave gall to anybody they're fixing to execute, where he'd have guts enough to go out and get your head chopped off, or go out and get yourself nailed to the cross. So they offered him gall mixed with opium. Came to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of skull, and gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Why wouldn't he take the gall? I'd have took the gall. Wouldn't you take some gall? I had heart surgery, and they gave me morphine. And I said, how much was that? They said, 10 units. I said, how often can I have that? They said, every 4 hours. So they come back in 4 hours, and they said, what's your pain like? I said, 10 units. And I said, 10 units every time they come back, every 4 hours. I said, 10 units, man, because it hurts. And I wanted some gall, I'm telling you right now. And you can bet you would have wanted some gall. Why wouldn't Jesus take the gall? Because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Had he had took the gall, he wouldn't have been able to save you dope things like me and change you. Isn't it amazing? The psalmist gave us a prophecy of that in Psalm 69:21. They also gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So they gave him gall mixed with vinegar, and he wouldn't take it. He's going to take the vinegar to drink here in just a minute. Jesus' first 3 hours upon the cross. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. 1,000 sermons on there. In North Texas, be sure and tune in. 16:30, Luke 23. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, where they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Psalms 22, verse 16, For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Amazing prophecy. Dogs is a Hebrew word, a slang word for a sissy, for a male punk, for a male prostitute. For dogs have compassed me. Jesus is saying them guys that killed him was a bunch of punks, And they nailed, they pierced his hands and his feet. Absolutely amazing prophecy, because this is written 1000 B.C. and crucifixion won't be invented until 500 B.C. This is like a prophecy of the electric chair before electricity was invented. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And of course, Zechariah in 520 B.C. tells us the same thing. And one of them will say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And he will answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friend. And that verse goes on and says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. And Jesus quoted that very verse at the Last Supper. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Now, that's totally different than us, isn't it? I'm telling you, I'd want to get my gun. I'd want something. I want to do something to them people that did all that stuff to me. I'd hunt people that did stuff like that to me if I had any chance. Everybody, it's in human nature to get even, but to pray, Father, forgive them when they're murdering you? Who else but God could do something like that? I mean, I couldn't. You couldn't. Don't tell me you could. I know better. You're human. John 19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And when the chief priests of the Jews, the Pilate wrote not King of the Jews, but he said, I'm King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was that seam woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whoso it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vestures did they cast lot. These things therefore the soldiers did. Psalms 18, written 1,000 years before Christ was born, gives a prophecy, they parted my garments among them, and cast lots, dice, shot dice for his coat, for his vesture. Matthew 27. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. And the psalmist in that same psalm says, all they that laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip and they shake the head, wagging the head and shake the head, a verbal parallelism there. Matthew 27:40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And likewise also the chief priests mocking with the scribes and elders, saying, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. Now catch these key words. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, and we will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The very words of Jesus on the cross, the prophet tells us 1,000 years before in Psalms 22:8, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying he delighteth in him. Matthew 27:44. Then the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in their teeth. They reviled him in the same way. But Luke tells us, and one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art of the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. How in the world was the thief on the cross saved without being baptized? That's what the Baptists all ask us, our Baptist friends, most denominational friends. They say, oh, you don't have to be baptized. Thief on the cross wasn't baptized. Well, number one, he died under the law of Moses. Number two, what makes you think that he wasn't baptized? What makes you think that he wasn't baptized? Has anybody in this room known anybody that backslid? Have y'all ever known a backslider? I've known plenty of them. How in the world did he know that Jesus was sinless? How did he know that this man has done nothing amiss? How did he know that? He called him Lord. That's a big deal in Hebrew. That's a big deal to call somebody Yahweh, Yahweh, or to call him Adonai, either one. That is a big, big deal. How in the world did he know that he was Lord if he didn't know anything at all about Jesus? How did he know about the kingdom of God? If he hadn't been taught, how did he know about the kingdom of God? Well, let me give you one way that he could have known. In Mark 1, chapter 4, verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And they went out to him all the land of Judea and they that dwell in Jerusalem. Now, that all the land of Judea is a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to get you to understand that a whole bunch of Jews went out there and got baptized. There's a whole lot of them went out there and got baptized, confessing their sins in the Jordan River. Now in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus ordained the 12 disciples and sent them forth to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's in hand. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, he sent out 70 more before his face, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. So you got John the Baptist, Jesus, the 12, and the 70, 84 of the greatest preachers in all history, going throughout the land, teaching, preaching, and baptizing people, sinners like you and me. What makes you think he wasn't baptized? Well, let me tell you, he didn't need to be baptized. Because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead yet, and he hadn't said yet, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved, and he that believeth not should be damned. And Peter had not yet said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross his mother. Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. He said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he unto the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. 3 hours of darkness while Jesus is on the cross. Mark 15. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land to the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words of Jesus on the cross is quoted in Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elijah. And Matthew, and he said, let it be and see whether Elijah will come and save him. John 19. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I told you it's going to happen again. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop, on a sponge, and put it on a stick, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he wouldn't take the gall, but he received the vinegar. When he received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed the head and gave up the ghost. Psalm 69:21, they gave him also gall of my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, to thy hands I commit thy spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Those of you in North Texas can tune us in on 1630. Matthew 27, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went to the holy city, and appeared to many. Now when the centurion that were there with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of the Zebedee children, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women that came up with him in Jerusalem. The burial of Jesus' dead body, John 19. The Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, it was not only Passover, but it was a Saturday Sabbath, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. You break somebody's legs, it's crucified, they can't raise up to take a breath of air. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first, and the other was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead already, and they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith they came out both blood and water. And he that saw it, John, in other words, bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth what he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. In Exodus chapter 12, drop down to verse 46, in one house it shall be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth aught of it, of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof, speaking of the paschal lamb. In Psalms 34:20, he keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. John 19:37, and again another scripture said, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And Zechariah 12:10 says, and I will pour upon the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and mourn for him, as one mourned for his only son, being bitterness as one is in bitterness his firstborn. When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. In Isaiah 53:9, now he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, buried him in his own tomb. Mark 15, now Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which waited on the kingdom of God, came and went unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead, calling to him the centurion, and asking whether he'd been a while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. John 19. And they came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in the clean linen clothes with the spices, as a manner of Jews to bury. And the place which he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, this Joseph's grave, wherein never a man yet lay. And they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jewish preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. If you just march right down to the front, make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as Lord. Be baptized into Christ. Rise to walk in newness of life. If you have sin in your life, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Now to prepare our mind for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.